I'm Ainsley Earhart, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, May 1st, 2018, I'm Jessica Rosenthal. A stalemate at the U.S.-Mexico border as a caravan of Central American migrants plans to ask for asylum.
How you treat that group is going to send a message back to Central America and other places.
I'm Dave Anthony. A comedian leaves Trump supporters crying wolf.
We should definitely talk about the women in the Trump administration.
I'm Judge Andrew Napolitano, and I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
Over the past month, a caravan of migrants from Central America has been on the road with plans to enter the U.S. More than 1,000 of them, mostly from Honduras, but some from Guatemala and El Salvador, trekked through Mexico. And a couple hundred of them arrived last week and this past weekend at the border in Tijuana. They claim they've been running from violence in their home countries.
I would ask Donald Trump to put his hand on his heart.
Que también nosotros tenemos derechos porque, como él dijo, que todos venimos huyendo de nuestro país por alguna razón.
We also have rights because we're all running from our countries for a reason, and we're all.
Y todos tenemos derecho de vivir allá también.
We all have the right to live there too.
Donald Trump can't stop the caravan because he's not God. Only God has the last word. And if God brought us all the way up here in spite of everything we've suffered, then we always have faith.
As the caravan worked its way north, President Trump would tweet about it from time to time. And a little over a week ago, he wrote, I have instructed the Secretary of Homeland Security not to let these large caravans of people into our country. It is a disgrace. We are the only country in the world so naive. Wall. But just not letting them in isn't how it works. And at a press conference Monday with the president of Nigeria, the president was asked, what percentage does he think are deserving of asylum? He wouldn't give a number. Instead, he demanded revision of U.S. immigration policies.
And now we're working on the border with the worst laws any country, no matter where you go, all over the world, they can't even believe it. And we're doing the best we can with it. But we have to have changes in Congress, and we have to have it quickly. We need a wall, number one. And you see that right now, you know, where they are. Even though it's not a particularly good wall, and even though a small percentage can climb to the top, they have to be in extremely good shape. But a small percentage can climb that particular wall. We have a wall that's much more difficult. But if you didn't have that, you'd have thousands of people just pouring into our country. You got to have a wall. And we need border security. And we will have border security.
He tweeted later on, the migrant caravan that is openly defying our border shows how weak and ineffective U.S. immigration laws are. While the migrants were waiting to be processed, Vice President Mike Pence visited construction of new fencing in Calexico, about 120 miles to the east. Fox News correspondent William Lajeunesse spoke with him.
What about these images? We've got women and children camped out at our fence for an indefinite period of time if we don't know what the capacity really is and how many beds we're talking about. So is that an acceptable image of those people camped on our doorstep? Or is an image we do want to send that the people won't get in the next caravan coming up from Central America to think that you're going to get in?
President Trump has said many times, a nation without borders is not a nation. And we have to uphold the laws of this country. That said, make no mistake about it, the president and I understand that these families are victims. They've been given the hope that simply by traveling thousands of miles, they would be able to gain access to the United States of America by some means, legally or illegally. And the hardship that they've faced, oftentimes with small children, is just unacceptable. It's the reason why we have to build a wall. It's the reason why we have to reform our immigration laws so that people who have a hope of coming to the United States of America would understand there's a legal means to do that, but there's no longer the incentive to hope that they can come here and gain access to the country legally or illegally.
Lajeunesse also spoke to some of those Central Americans camped out, waiting in line, hoping to get into the country.
They say they have fled persecution in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, that they fear going home, that they're victims of gang violence, cartel threats. Members of their family have been persecuted, if not assassinated, and therefore they left their home country looking for asylum in the United States. They don't want to stay in Mexico. They have family in the United States, so they're going to present themselves at the port of entry requesting asylum. But as you may or may not know, when they tried to do that, port officials at San Ysidro, south of San Diego, said, sorry, we are at capacity, and we cannot take anyone else in.
But at a later point, they could start processing folks, and at some point, they will process them and likely release some of them if they don't deport them.
That would be true. I mean, there's not an unlimited amount of money. See, that's something people, Congress did not give the administration more money in this budget for detention. I think the secretary has been moving money around to find it, so it isn't just like this money comes out of thin air and you go, oh, let's open another facility. Yes, you could argue, well, here's the thing. When it comes to deportation, it is not that easy. Once you take individual into custody for a credible fear claim and asylum seeking, even if the hearing officer says, I don't believe your claim reaches the level of credible fear, you can appeal that to an immigration judge. So you're almost guaranteeing you're drawing that process out. The secretary has said that in all these cases, we are going to adjudicate the claim and you will remain in detention the entire time. That's easier said than done because of what we said, because the U.S. can't let out criminal aliens. So if you're a low-risk woman with a two-year-old child versus someone else, it's very good possibility that you'll get released,
right,
pending a notice to appear in court.
We've seen some of the pictures of people, you know, sitting on the fencing, waving flags, people on both sides chanting. What are you seeing down there? And when you interact with folks, are they at shelters? Are they exhausted? What's the status?
Sure. I've been in several of the shelters, and they try to separate the men and the women and the families, and then they kind of get together for their legal counseling sessions. There's a lot of supporters and activists who are blending in with the group of immigrants, if you will. Some, and I'm not suggesting they're all open borders people, who do believe that the U.S. has a duty and an obligation to take people in who do make a credible fear claim and let things work out later on. That as a humane nation, it's our duty to take those individuals in. Obviously, there's a lot of people who disagree with that. But as far as, you know, the conditions, you know, they describe about very dangerous conditions on the train, a lack of food. Some of the kids, some of the older individuals were hacking up a pretty bad cough. They didn't sound like they were very healthy.
What happens from here? I mean, we know that they're saying they're at capacity and not processing. What do you think is going to happen this week?
The administration does not want to send a message, right, that says if you show up at the border, you're going to get in. And this is a very high-profile caravan. There's as many reporters down there as there are immigrants, right? So how you treat that group is going to send a message back to Central America and other places, hey, get on the next caravan, and they're going to let you in too, which is one of the concerns of the administrations and maybe part of the reason why this group is being treated the way they are. Obviously, other people will look at the same image and say, how could you possibly let women and children sleep outside 24 hours a day waiting for a ticket to get into this country?
San Diego-based attorney Ginger Jacobs has worked with Central Americans and Haitians who've claimed asylum over the past several years.
These are people who are in very, very vulnerable situations and are often subject to extreme sexual violence, rape, gang rape. I've just heard the most horrible stories I've ever heard in my life. From women from these countries who have fled to the United States. There are also a lot of children fleeing because they fear being recruited into gangs and they don't want to be part of those gangs, so they're seeking safety in the United States.
She says once they make a claim for asylum, that's when they're interviewed by an asylum officer.
They do have to have a very detailed, incredible story that hangs together. It's usually at least a 2 to 3 hour interview, sometimes longer. I have sat in on them because the folks have the right to counsel during these proceedings. They are screened very thoroughly. They're asked factual questions, and they're also asked questions that would allow the officer to figure out whether there's a legal ground for the asylum claim. The most frequent reason for denying a credible fear interview, in my expertise, is when the officer doesn't think, thinks, oh yes, maybe this person's fleeing a terrible situation, but their particular situation doesn't give rise to an asylum claim legally. Because for asylum, you have to be fleeing your country on account of a particular ground.
She says if they don't pass the credible fear interview, they do have the right to judicial review, but that's a quick process. She says the judge usually rubber stamps an asylum officer's determination, and after that, it's expedited removal. Then, of course, not everyone in the caravan followed this path. The Justice Department says they filed charges against at least 11 caravan members, mostly for entering the country illegally.
This is Judge Napolitano with your Fox News commentary coming up.
Comedian Michelle Wolf made a name for herself Saturday night, headlining the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Like a porn star says when she's about to have sex with a Trump, let's get this over with.
She took shots at the president, calling him a racist, making fun of a scandal or two.
It's 2018 and I'm a woman, so you cannot shut me up. Unless you have Michael Cohen wire me $130,000.
But she also took aim at two high-profile Trump staffers, Kellyanne Conway.
If a tree falls in the woods, how do we get Kellyanne under that tree?
And Sarah Sanders.
I'm a little starstruck. I love you as Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale. She burns facts, and then she uses that ash to create a perfect smoky eye. What's Uncle Tom but for white women who disappoint other white women?
And all that drew the ire of President Trump, who tweeted, the so-called comedian really bombed, calling it a disaster and an embarrassment. His supporters were also angry, believing Wolf crossed the line. Fox News media analyst Howie Kurtz thought so, too.
Michelle Wolf was vile and nasty, and it was an embarrassment. The president's right about that. It was a huge embarrassment to the White House Correspondents Association and the media in general. I mean, here you have the president off in Michigan having a rally and railing against the dishonest and corrupt media, and the geniuses who thought to book a raunchy anti-Trump comedian who went totally off the rails, was dropping F-bombs that were broadcast live on cable news, are refusing to apologize. There's a statement about, oh, it's unfortunate, her tone didn't match the spirit of unity. No, that's not going to cut it.
But a Washington Post opinion page editor, Molly Roberts, wrote, Michelle Wolf got it just right. The critics say her performance was not normal, is a testament to its timeliness and necessity. Nothing is normal right now. And pretending otherwise out of a false sense of the Fourth Estate's friendship with the executive would have been the real disgrace. And Wolf called out the administration, she wrote, for tearing down democracy, doing a better job defending the First Amendment than those who say that's our business. Let's bring in John Decker. He's Fox News Radio's White House correspondent and on the board of the association, though he didn't have a say in inviting Michelle Wolf.
This was my 24th White House Correspondents Association dinner, so I've gone to a lot. They've changed over the years, regardless of the president, different comedians that have been hired, some very A-list, and some, like this past weekend, people that I may not have heard of before.
So of all these dinners, is this one, does it stand out to you? It's getting a lot of criticism. Obviously, President Trump's not there. That makes it noteworthy.
There was also the dinner in 2006, in which the comedian was Stephen Colbert. That got a lot of attention of the news media because of his harsh attacks on then-President George W. Bush. I think that the types of things I'm hearing to some extent from some of my colleagues are some of the things that I heard way back in 2006.
As this goes on, are you guys looking at each other or what?
Yeah, I mean, I have a very unique vantage point because being up there at the head table on the dais, I can look out at the whole room. I can look at all 2,500 people. Obviously, you know, can't see far back in the room, but up front, I can see some very well-known people from politics and from the field of journalism to see their reaction. I can see the Fox table right in front of me as well. And of course, I can look to my left and to my right to see how my fellow board members are reacting to it. And I think there was just a lot of shock in terms of what it was that Michelle Wolf was saying, the personal tone that she was taking in her criticism specifically of Sarah Sanders, the White House spokeswoman.
So what is the difference? Usually, I mean, you talked about Stephen Colbert and you've talked about all these past dinners where it's kind of a roast kind of atmosphere to it, right? I mean, but yeah. The president is usually the subject of the jokes, correct?
You go after the president. You go after the person who ran for office and should have a thick skin when it comes to comedic barbs being aimed at you. You know, there's a witty way in which to go after Sarah Sanders. And I spoke to her immediately after the dinner, and she was kind of shell-shocked. And she said, there's plenty of material that you can go after me on as it relates to the way I do my job on a daily basis that you don't have to sort of get down deep and dirty into the personal attacks. And I think that's one of the reasons why we see the kind of reaction that we're getting from anybody who watched the dinner, not just the journalists who were there.
President Trump, of course, tweeted that the dinner, as we know it, is dead. It was a disaster, an embarrassment. He's not, as we've mentioned, there at these dinners. He probably will never go to one. Wasn't that the point of these dinners, to have the president there?
Yeah, the point is to honor the president. The president attends these dinners, and we celebrate the First Amendment.
Is he right? Is it dead as you know it?
As it stands right now with Donald J. Trump as president, it is dead as we know it. But it can certainly resurrect itself, not only with this president still in office, but also with successive presidents.
Who better to judge a comedian than a comedian? So we talked to Tom Shalhoub. He's a Fox News Radio talk show host who's been doing stand-up comedy for years, and like Michelle Wolf, had even worked for The Daily Show. Did you watch Saturday Night?
I did.
Did you like it? Did you laugh?
I didn't laugh, but I don't think I was supposed to.
Why?
Because at these events, I don't think they're supposed to be particularly funny. You know, I don't know if you guys know what's happened to comedy over the past 30 years or so, but it's not primarily, its purpose is not to entertain people.
Okay, then what's the point?
Let me go over some of the words. Social critic, tell truth to power, call out hypocrisy. You hear a lot about punching up, you know, the idea of social satire. So that's what is valued in the comedy world now, is not, oh, we're going to entertain. It's not the old days of Bob Hope, make everybody laugh. It's the idea of social satire. And so I will never criticize a comedian. My problem does not come with the comedian. So I will say Michelle Wolf did nothing wrong but do her job. My problem is the booker of that event. They shouldn't have a social critic, a comedian, someone who's there to tear people down at that event, because that's not what.
So comedians, they shouldn't even bother with a comedian ever again.
Don't book us. Do not. That's all I can say. I'll tell to the bookers of America, we are not nice people.
This is not good for your people, because
I would love to go back to the old days of entertainment, because I love the old days of.
So you want some vaudeville on there?
I would love it. And you know, I love Rich Little. You remember he used to do presidential voice? I am not a crook. I love that stuff. But that's not what they're going to do in this day of The Daily Show and Bill Maher. That's not what's required of comedians. So if you invite them, they're going to do what they are going to do. They're going to be nasty people. They're not nice.
They'll assail you, and if people laugh, that's fine. But if they don't, that's fine too, right?
No. And this is why I think it's disingenuous. Margaret Taleb, who was the head of the event, she came out and she apologized. The thing is, she booked the show. She knew what she was getting. Mm-hmm. They're being very disingenuous. They always have people on there to rip apart the Republicans. And it happened with George W. Bush, with Stephen Colbert. They like it. They like when this happens. And then they kind of cry, oh, I didn't know. Well, first of all, what are you booking someone? You have no control over what they say. They invite this in there. It's her problem.
Supposedly, these things are supposed to be more, okay, make fun of the president. Yeah. He's the person elected, so he's the person that we should be able to target, and he has to take it because that's the way it is. You agree, disagree?
Well, he shouldn't have to sit for it. You know, he knows what he's doing. The president went out to, did he go to Washington, Michigan?
Washington, Michigan.
I mean, the symbolism was right there.
Right.
He tells his own jokes. The thing about it is, in this era, we always have people, you know, trying to attack them. He has a Rodney Dangerfield energy, and he's to tell you the truth, he's funnier than any of us. Maybe we should shut up for the next 3 years.
But Michelle Wolf, I mean, she's getting
She's getting killed by some people who were Trump supporters, didn't like it. Then there's other people who were on the left, or maybe comedians like you, were like, hey, she was funny. She did nothing wrong.
She did her perspective, and you got to give her her perspective. They invited her, and they said, there's no censorship. You say whatever you want. She's going to say what she wants. I have friends who are very left-wing. They can't stand the president. They're going to do their thing. If I went to that dinner, do you know what I would have done? I would have roasted journalists because I don't think they're doing their jobs.
So if you're Michelle Wolf today, what would you say?
I'm going to call her and say, buck up. Don't let people attack. She did her thing. And it's the White House correspondents, the phonies that booked this event. Those are the ones. They shouldn't have this thing anymore. But I'm not nice either. And if you invite me to a dinner with people that I don't agree with, I'm going to go at them. I mean, it's just my nature. So that's the way it is. You got to be ready. No more comedians. Book a jazz trio. They're much more mellow for a dinner.
All right, Tom Shalhoub, thanks.
Thank you.
I think.
Download and subscribe to original podcast from Fox News Radio.
It's time to get caught up on what's happened and what's next. I'm Jared Halpern from Washington.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcast.com.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Judge Andrew Napolitano.
What's on your mind?
What do we do if the president decides he wants to bomb someone and he made a mistake? What do we do about the Constitution, which says only the Congress can declare war, but the president wages war? We are confronting those issues even as we speak, because 2 weeks ago, President Trump, on evidence so flimsy that his own Secretary of Defense didn't believe it, decided to bomb military and civilian targets in Syria. He did not ask Congress for permission, as the Constitution requires. He did not go to the UN, as the UN Charter, which is a treaty Syria and the U.S. have signed, requires. The United States was not attacked. United States interests were not at stake. There was no property or American citizens that needed to be defended. The president just wanted to make a point. Yet the Constitution says only Congress can declare war. How is this relevant today? Well, aside from the fact that war is the most frightful, dangerous tool or instrument available to the president, Congress is debating whether or not to allow the president to do this. And if that happens, Congress will be giving its power to wage war, which the Constitution gives to Congress, to the president. Can Congress do that? In a word, no. The beauty of the American Constitution is the separation of powers. The Congress writes the laws. The president enforces the laws. The courts interpret the laws. Congress declares war. The president fights or wages war. The courts prevent the other two branches of the government from exceeding their powers under the Constitution. But if the Congress gives away its ability to declare war to the president, it has violated the Constitution it took an oath to uphold. It makes the president far too strong. Because the whole purpose of requiring a congressional declaration of war is to make sure that there is a broad national consensus behind the president whenever he uses military force. If he can strike at anybody he wants without getting permission anytime he wants, then he can start a war for any reason or no reason. And that violates his oath to uphold the Constitution. I'm Judge Andrew Napolitano.
You have been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to Fox News Radio's hourly newscast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, visit foxnews.com.